7 is where we're going to start at. While you're turning there, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 is the key verse of the book of Deuteronomy. That's why we're going to look at it first. And in the book of Deuteronomy, this book, of course, deals with the theme of beware lest you forget. And God's going to remind us of a lot of things in Deuteronomy that he don't want us to forget about anytime soon. And he's trying to remind the children of Israel. He's already gave them the law, gave them how the sacrificial system, how he wants it. You and I look back on it and see each one is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and how it all makes sense why they did what they did when you look at it in that light. And there's a reason why we don't do it now. It's because he's already come. He already is that last sacrifice. And we don't need any more sacrifices. He's the last one. That includes you. We don't need you to sacrifice you. So what about Romans 12? That's a spiritual sacrifice. We're talking about physical sacrifices. In other words, let me spell it out for you real plain. You don't have to quit anything in order to keep your relationship with the Lord so you can get saved. He did that already. Anything you do past that, sometimes it's just not necessary. We had somebody here in Sunday school one time, got it out of them. They was not eating pork so they could go to heaven. Thank God for the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 4, we can eat pork, thank God. We can have a ham sandwich with bacon on it if we so desire. That's sounding awful good right about now. I'm trying to hurry. Now that I mentioned bacon, that always gets me into second gear right there. You got 34 verses, 959, or 34 chapters, 959 verses, 28,352 words, everyone inspired by God, kept forever in our King James Bible. In chapter 7, verse 9, the key verse, the key chapter is chapter 27, but the key verse says, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. How about that? God points out in this thing about he is God and he is the faithful God. There's no other God that's ever been in writing to ever write themselves down and sign off to that. They're faithful alone as long as you do right. It's the way the other gods are. This God said he's the faithful God anyway, whether you do right or not. Amen. And we look over in chapter 13, which we're going to look at tonight. If you go ahead and turn over to chapter 13. The author of this book of Deuteronomy is Moses. There is no doubt about that. And you say, well, how did he write the part where he died? I'm going to tell you how. Through tears. Through tears. According to Exodus 24, verse 4, Moses wrote down all the words. According to Acts chapter 7, verse 37 and 38, he got all the words in one place. According to what Jesus Christ said, Moses wrote down about circumcision. God gave that to Abraham, which Moses wrote it down. It come through Moses by the way of writing. And, of course, the whole book come to us by inspiration of God, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. You can't take one of those verses without the other, else you lose the context. Context says that young Timothy, and when he was growing up, had the inspired word of God in his house. That tells me the inspiration didn't stop with the originals. It carried through with the preservation. And it's just like any coin in your pocket or any bill in your billfold. They got to have a heads and a tails. You got inspiration and preservation, or it's not a real thing. It's not of God. If it's just preserved, it's not of God. If it's just inspired, it's not of God. It's got to be inspired and preserved.
Right.
Now listen to this. For this bunch of morons, it goes out here and says, well, I'm a Textus Receptus man. I believe in the Greek and blah, blah, blah. You don't even have the Textus Receptus. The guys that were the 54 scholars that did this Bible had three versions of it, and they didn't agree with each other.
Yeah.
This book's been, quote, four editions since its inception, and all of them are all the same. The only difference is printer's errors and spelling corrections. And listen, if you think it's trouble now, and listen, I know Microsoft Word and Apple's version of Microsoft Word, the processor, I forget Pages, what it's called, none of them will let you misspell a word. They'll underline it and put a little thing in red where you can't miss it, and people will still try to push that word through. Or they'll right-click it and say, add to dictionary, and it's not a word that's in that dictionary. Can you imagine in 1604 what the printing conditions was? Can you imagine what they was in 1613 and 1629 and 1769? That was the four editions of the King James Bible, the last one being 1769. Then I believe they put the letters in red in 1911 or 1811. I forget which one it is. But the whole thing, looking at it, God had to keep this book together. Now, the same people that have spout off to you about God's not in any one translation, not when old translation is inspired, can't show you one that is, can't produce a copy of anything to correct it,
yeah,
other than their own mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it ain't inspired. I've heard them when they talk around a restaurant.
Uh-huh.
I've happened to be privy to some conversations at the hospital, thinks they ain't even, them people ain't even saved, half of them saying that stuff. So why? They don't believe nothing. Listen, if something happens to you and I come to the hospital to pray with you, do you want me to pray, if it be thy will you get healed, or pray God ask heal you? Which one you want? When you laying there in pain, do you want me to ask God if it's his will to take away the pain, or you want me to say, Lord, please take away the pain and believe that God can do it? See what I'm saying? We've got a faithless Christianity that just blows away these cults today, and it's something else. But as we look in this chapter, in chapter 13, one other thing right quickly, I want to say this. The outline of this book points to your Christian life. It deals with Israel's history, and it gives a backward look in chapters 1 through 3. And if you know where you come from, boy, you will be equal to where you're at right now.
That's right.
Let me get this off my chest without being too graphic or bringing up too much sin. Don't raise your hands, because we don't want nobody to influence these young children. Ain't you glad you ain't hugging a ceramic toilet tonight?
Amen.
And begging God if he'll let you through it, you go to church Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
How about that one? That backward look, that where God brought you from. Chapters 4 through 11 deals with Israel's holiness and deals with the inward look we need to take at ourselves as believers. And the inward look refers to looking for somebody holy inside you. Jesus Christ said they sealed until the day of redemption. That's what we are. We're sealed until the day of redemption because we're sealed. We have somebody holy inside us. Not us, him. He's in there. And then chapters 12 through 30 deal with Israel's heritage and shows us the forward look and how we're supposed to establish things so the generation behind us will have something to build on when they need to come along. You and I, as believers, we have a great, great responsibility to be able to go out and teach the younger people things that'll help them when they get to be our age.
Yeah.
This don't come easy. It don't come cheap, but it is all free. God does that.
Right.
And with them, he gives them the forward look of where they were headed. But then we see the last part of this book in chapters 31 through 34 deals with the upward look, and that shows us Israel's hero. Israel's hero. You and I are living in a world where they want a hero. They're looking for a man to come settle all these things, get everything fixed. I didn't realize how much the world looked at us until I saw the news reports. When Trump was in office, they respected us. Now they show the blunders of Biden every day on the Australian news broadcasts. England makes fun of us. Japan makes fun of us.
Yeah.
Germany makes fun of us. France makes fun of us. They all make fun of us. I don't know what them Chinese are doing, but I see his picture up, and the guys start laughing at us, so I know they're making fun of us too.
Yeah.
It's crazy, ain't it?
Yeah.
And listen, everybody's looking for a man. Well, guess what? The devil's fixing to send him that man. God's going to send Jesus to pull us out of this earth, and then the devil's going to send this world a man. And he's not going to send him any man. He's just any man. People say, well, is the Antichrist alive right now? It don't matter. He's going to possess a human being.
Yeah.
And I'll give you some clues about him. Number one, he's going to be a sodomite according to Daniel chapter 11, and boy, ain't that thing got popular in this world. Number two, he's going to be at least half Jewish. At least that. And number three, he's going to be whoever the sitting pope is. That'd be who he possesses.
Yep.
So why him? He's the only guy in this world that can bring all the religions together with one word. And he'll do it. Now here's a funny part for you. You say, well, I don't believe that. Me and 54 guys that translated the King James Bible all believe that's going to be the guy. Now, how about that? They never taught that in church history, but that's a historical fact. All 54 of them believe. That's the one thing that united all of them as far as beliefs on the end times. In fact, they almost pretty much said he was right then. In the introduction to your Bible, it says, whether we be maligned by popish persons. They give a little shout-out right to let them know it's against him right from the start. Before he even got to Genesis, they want to let you know where they stood. But as we look at all this tonight, let's look at chapter 13, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. That indicates this person is able to perform some of that. Either he dreamed a dream and told it and something happened or so forth. But verse 3 says, thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet, whether he done it or not. He says, or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. Ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. As we look tonight at the book of Deuteronomy, I want to show you in these verses tonight some ingredients that are in a faithful believer. A faithful believer. There's, and according to Colossians chapter 1, there are two kinds of believers. There's the saints and the faithful brethren. The saints are everybody that's ever made a profession of faith, that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, that turned from their sin, accepted Christ as their Savior, and he came inside them and changed their life. That's all of us. Everybody that's saved. But inside that saved crowd, Paul says to the saints and faithful brethren. There are some faithful believers in this world, and I'm going to show you what makes up a faithful believer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do love you. We thank you, God, for letting us be in the house of God tonight. Lord, while we're here, we pray, God, that you'll move and do a great work in our midst and to us and around us and on us and through us and about us. God, that you'd teach us this Bible according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, thou may behold wonders. Chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For us in Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we get the ingredients and we look at them tonight, what makes up a faithful believer, if you'll start in verse 3, we see the proof of a faithful believer. He says, even if they perform that thing, he said, thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet. He said, and the reason being, even if they perform it, we have word not to follow that prophet. Yeah. Now, I'll readily admit to you, there are some strange prophets we got out in this world. And the stranger, the better. You take Nostradamus. These people tried to tell me for years, Nostradamus has predicted the future and blah, blah. Well, according to him, the world's already ended five times. And if you would like to know how Nostradamus came up with his prophecies, I'll tell you, and then you'd figure out whether you think he's of God. He would smoke opium and write down what he saw. Tear it up and throw it up into the air and gather it and put it somewhere. And people come along and start saying, hey, that looks like what's this happening. This looks like what this happening like this. That ain't accurate. And matter of fact, if you want to hear what percentage he's hitting on, he's about at 3%, maybe 4% accuracy. Let me put it to you this way. If we were in the Army, I wouldn't want him on the firing line with me. I'd want him in the KP. Cutting taters or something. If you're going to go out and shoot and you're going to get a 3 to 4%, even Shaquille O'Neal's free throw rate was better than that in his career in the NBA, and he couldn't shoot a free throw by his own admission. Ain't that something? I hear people come along and make these dumb statements and say, well, now, you know, he's right about most things. He hadn't been right about most things. Back when I was growing up, we'd always laugh at the grocery store counter because we never did buy these things because they were so stupid looking. But it was the National Enquirer. They'd have every December, Gene Dixon predicts blah, 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 blah. Her success rate's about like his. But yet people still buy that stuff and they'd say, 1977's going to be the end of the world. There was a TV show when I was a kid called Mork and Mindy that made fun of that crowd. They had this guy on there, and he always wore a white sheet and had a bowl haircut like Moe from the Three Stooges. And he'd go around saying, Labor Day, Mork, Labor Day's the end of the world, to make fun of them. And Labor Day came and went a couple of years after that show was on. But they were predicting it. The Inquirer was writing it down because inquiring minds want to know. And guess what happened? No end of the world. And by the way, he's probably not coming now either. I'm going to tell you why. Everybody's looking for him right now. Oh, please deliver us from these Democrats and these socialists and these communists and all this other stuff. What was you at 3 years ago? Same crap was in power. Just one or two different.
Right.
Trump was one of the few that got out of office. They wasn't like a big turnover or nothing. And whoever keeps voting for Lindsey Graham, you need to have your head examined, by the way.
Yep.
You can mail him his tape, too. I don't care.
Yeah.
Please do, because I can't seem to get through to him on the phone at all. They several of them. Brother Kirsten and I have talked. They won't return our phone calls. They act like we don't exist. But come time to vote, they want us to get out there and vote for them.
Yeah.
And I'll never vote Democrat, but I sure might write a notice to town drunk in place of them a couple of places. I know that. Telling you what, I never seen a beat in my life. I think Popeye the Sailor Man would make a better one than them sometimes. And he's not even a real character. But as you look, even if they perform that miracle, he says, thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet. If you hold your place here, look over at 2 John. I'm going to show you something. It says it in the Old Testament and the New Testament about not following after these people that don't have their doctrine straight. Especially what I'm fixing to show you in the New Testament. 2 John, if you'll look down at verse 9. He said this false prophet over here and tried to get you to chase after other gods. All right, 2 John verse 9 says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Do you see that in your Bible? When it says they hath not God, that doesn't take away the fact they're probably some of the nicest people you meet.
Right.
I've had people say, come on, why do you preach on such and such a group when they're so, I know so many of them are so nice. One of the missionaries we supported in the past in this church went out to Utah out there to go out there and start a church. And it wasn't the Baptists that helped him unload the U-Haul. It was the Mormons.
Yeah.
They're nice people. We're not taking away whether they're nice or mean or whatever.
Yeah.
We just say this, the hath not God, they don't have the doctrine of Christ.
Right.
When you believe somebody other than Jesus Christ sits on the throne to judge people, you don't have this doctrine. If you think Mary's sitting on the throne with him, you don't have the doctrine of Christ. If you think Joseph Smith's sitting up there in a committee of three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Joseph Smith.
Mm.
Or if you like him Russellites, you think the Holy Spirit's a it and a force and not something that's a real person and part of the Godhead, which is clearly taught in Scripture.
Right.
And see, he said, they hath not God. He that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he's somebody you listen to. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Why is that? Verse 11, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So when we're talking about the proof of a faithful believer don't sit around and have dialogues with cults. He rebukes them. He lets them know we're not the same. The reason we're not the same is one person. That's our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the one difference we're going to have. It don't matter how many differences we have past that. It don't matter if we mean and they nice or they mean and we nice. That don't matter. Doctrine is what matters, and the doctrine of Christ is what matters. There are goofballs in this world that thinks we got here on a turtle's back. Some of them think a spaceship brought us and the mothership's coming back to get all them and you name it. That's not the doctrine of Christ.
Amen.
And if I become your president in 2024, they will not sit on my prayer team. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I can't run though because Brother Cross ain't alive to run with me. We always threaten to run every year to come up. But I'm telling you, they think Trump was bad. They ain't seen nothing if I got in office. They wouldn't be half these problems we got. You know what we'd be saying? We wouldn't be saying, let's go negotiate. It'd be click, parking lot, next. And they'd say, oh, he means business. You know what else we'd do? We wouldn't be buying foreign oil. We wouldn't be over begging no towel head for some oil either. Say amen right there. You going to kill Americans and have them executed? Well, fine, we ain't buying nothing from you, and you ain't buying nothing from us. How about that?
Right.
See how long they live without these golden fields of wheat and grain that we got over here.
Right.
All of a sudden, we'll be cool again to them, see? When you people don't believe the doctrine of Christ, it don't matter what they think about God. I've sat in meetings with Brother Kirsch, and a man tried to tell us, it don't matter if you go by train, by plane, or automobile, I'll see you in Times Square. You may see us in Times Square, but you won't get to heaven like that.
That's right.
You got to abide in the doctrine of Christ, because if you don't, and you bid that crowd okay, you will be a partaker of their evil deeds. I've had to confront Muslims on a prison yard and tell them, no, you cannot have the chapel. But it's rum-a-dum. I don't care how dumb you are. I don't care how much rum you drink, but you ain't getting the chapel. They said, why? Because my name's on the chapel day, not yours. And he bowed up me and said, we'll see. I said, let's go see, big boy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When you 350 pounds, you can't run from one room to this other, and you're going to threaten to fight me, I can outrun you till you get out of breath.
Dude.
Don't be fat and stupid. Just be fat, okay? We go see Mr. Warden and happened to still be there, and his name was Mr. Mooney. Mr. Mooney said, I want to see the schedule. He brought the schedule out there to him. He said, Dr. Little, chapel, you, library. I thought, and I looked at him and went, He gave me all that grief till the warden showed up. He is strutting, sitting down, waiting on the warden to get there like he's a Baptist or something. I thought, my goodness, this guy really believes that warden's going to flip and do that just because he's a Muslim. Funny how they wasn't a Muslim until they got in a joint.
Yeah.
And by the way, them overseas Muslims, they called them a cult. Farrakhan and the whole crowd.
Yeah.
So what is that? That means there's at least two branches of that crowd. I know of three if you count the Shiites and Sunnis, and you got them other ones, this Nation of Islam over here. And listen, here's a funny thing. I had this stupid Mormon tell me one time, he said, you Christians, y'all are so divided. Y'all have all the denominations. I said, who you calling divided? I said, I name all four of yours. And that ain't counting all the splinter groups where they want to keep having polygamy out there in Utah.
Yeah.
One in St. Louis, one in Salt Lake City, one up there in Pennsylvania, and then them, quote, them brethren that want to have 13 and 14 wives. How dumb can you be having that many mother-in-laws?
Uh-huh.
What are you thinking? Ain't one enough? Hadn't you learned your lesson? Or are you just totally brain dead about that? So who don't do that? Christ.
Right.
You ever read Matthew 19 before? That rules out homosexuality, and it also rules out polygamy. That one place in Matthew 19, 1 through 6. He said God has a man and a woman. That's all you got. He didn't say he had to pick 37 other genders. That's somebody that ain't got no brain really talking right there. And by the way, can I make a public service announcement for all of y'all to understand this? In the 5,500 years of human history, the birth in person is always a genetic woman. Just saying. I don't know who come up with birth in person and try to say a man can have a baby, but you can't do it. And ain't none of y'all tough enough to do it if you could. People say, y'all oppress women in Christian church. Y'all make them, y'all wipe their makeup off and put their hair up in a bun and make them wear a dress that drags the floor and blah, blah, blah. I've heard that stuff and I look around at y'all and think, man, y'all must not be listening to these people. They tell you how you're supposed to be and you ain't like that. Now, here's the backside of that. We don't preach in putting on clown makeup where you have to kiss somebody and get lead poisoned all the time either. Say amen right there. That was free. But back in the reality of the real world here, if you hath not the doctrine of Christ, you hath not God. If you tell them, well, you go serve your God and I'll serve my God, you are partaker of what they're doing. What does a faithful believer do? They don't go around them. They put them out. They don't put up with that stuff. They don't call to them and say, well, you just like I am and all this other stuff. Are you listening to me yet?
Amen.
It's fixing to get real good here in a second. Look back over to Deuteronomy 13. He said, if thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, here's why. The Lord your God proveth you See, the proof of a faithful believer is God uses this to show us ourselves. He wants you to see you for who you are. And the reason he does that, he knows what you are. You may be lying to yourself. You know the worst person to lie to is yourself. And I'm going to tell you how you do it so you'll know, so you can get the trick down. You tell that lie to yourself over and over till you finally believe it. And then you know what you are? Self-deceived. That's the worst deception in the world. I'm okay. Keep telling yourself that. I'm okay. I'm not sinful. I'm okay. I'm working on a message right now, and I'm going to go ahead and give you the title. I heard Brother Chip Stowe say it in a funeral the other day, and I heard another guy get up and say it before he got up, and I thought about it and thought about it. Well, they're in a better place. And that's true if somebody dies saved. They are in a better place. But here's the title of the message I'm going to preach here for long. They're in a better place with bad people. There are no good people in heaven. They're all in hell. All the good people's in hell. So what do you mean all the good people? The ones that couldn't convince them they're lost and undone without Christ, that couldn't see themselves for who they really are, that they couldn't see themselves under the convicting hand of God and have violated God's law. There's your good people. So what's in heaven? Bad people. You get up in heaven, you're going to hear the big preacher show up in heaven. You know what what everybody's going to be saying? If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for him dying on the cross, I wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for his shed blood, well, what are you? I'm a bad person, they'll say. Everybody will say it up there. In a better place with bad people. Now watch me forget this. Y'all remind me to preach this in a few weeks, okay? I've got it wrote down, but I got a member of the paper there, you know. But I'm telling you, God said, I do this to prove you. He wants to prove you and show you who you are so you won't let yourself off the hook too bad and you will follow him. Amen. Now notice this. He says in that last part of that verse, he says, he proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Heart and soul become revealed. Why is that? Because if God doesn't prove that to you, you will never know. I've had things happen to me since I've been saved, since I've been pastoring, since I've been walking with the Lord for a number of years, that nobody knew what was really inside me, and I done lied to myself enough about it. I thought it was true. And the next thing I know, here comes something along that opened myself up to me, and I realize what I am, and I got to get it right. So what happened? We had to make some changes. Had to get that thing right. Who deceived me? It wasn't the devil, it was me. He probably had some help in there somewhere helping out. I'm not sure. But I do know this, that God does that to show you your own heart, to show you your own soul, and show you where you really stand. Yeah. Say, is it painful? Like you wouldn't believe. But get this, it's for the best. Right. You remember that lie your parents told you, and then you told your kids the same lie, where you lied to them and said, this is going to hurt you more than it will me? That's a lie. It's going to hurt you more than it will them. You know what the Lord says? This is really going to hurt. But he didn't say it hurt you him more than hurt you. He says it's really going to hurt. Because we've got to get that right. And the bad thing is when he comes and visits us with that stuff and shows us that stuff, the first thing we try to say is, well, that's just the devil. Why is it we blame all the bad stuff on God, blame the good stuff on the devil? We get that thing so backed up backwards sometimes. But when we come down to it, God's showing you you're not good enough to be around him. And the only way you can be is through the blood of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and became sin for you who knew no sin. And he done all that. And if you're going to be a faithful believer, the trials will come. I notice in that next verse there, the second ingredient that makes us up is the pattern of a faithful believer. And there, listen, six in the Bible is a number for man, and there are six words for every man here, six words for every man, woman, child born on this earth that's going to make up the pattern of a faithful believer. Number one, look at verse 4, ye shall walk after the Lord your God. You know where people get in trouble at? They try to run after the Lord your God and they ain't learned how to walk. I saw a nice little picture of a little baby's foot today, and it had grocery store feet looking feet. How many knows what that means? You remember back when we used to go without shoes around here? The little black feet bottom. And it held that little foot up, and it said, looks like somebody's learning to walk. And under the little thing, Facebook post, Grandma posted in, it looks like somebody didn't clean their floors.
Oh, uh-oh.
But what kind of sight would it be to train your children and try to run before you taught them how to walk?
Yeah.
A, they may be able to do it. But probably what they do is get hurt. Mm-hmm. I see people get saved and they try to run with the Lord instead of walk. You know what happens? They hit a wall. Or even worse, they start running sideways. Or run backwards. You ever tried to run backwards? That's almost impossible. I've seen people gifted athletically doing it on a football field, but I ain't never seen you do it up a mountain. I ain't never even seen a rabbit back up too fast. Now get this. You walk with the Lord your God. Learn to walk with Him. Don't learn to run. Learn to walk. You will find out that God never, ever moves fast. You'll pray and say, Lord, will you do this? And you know what God will say? I will. And 2 weeks later, you're saying, Lord, where are you? I've been running up here to get all this done, and where are you at? And God will say, I told you to walk with me. You've ran up ahead. So what does God want me to do? Take him steps back?
Come on.
You ain't got Bible for that. How about that where Jonah gets told by God to walk this way, and he goes this way, and he walks out onto a dock, he goes down into a ship, down into the hold, the whole thing's falling apart, and they say, who are you? He said, I'm a prophet of the Lord that's backslid. What happened to him? Over the side they threw him, and guess what happened? Just like when Jesus said, peace be still, the whole thing stilled out, the storm went away. So what happened to Jonah? This thing called a great big fish, a whale, that Jesus said was a whale, and I'll take his word over anybody's word in this world, right, swallowed him, and then took him even further down. You know what Jonah finally had to do? Get right with God. You know what happened after that? He took every step back. And I do believe that when that thing spit him out the very place he boarded at. That's just like God to do that. And when he got on his feet on dry land, seaweed, hair, and all, they're headed towards Nineveh now. See, the path, you learn to walk with the Lord. Second word in that verse, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him. And fear him. Me and my wife today saw two completely healthy people walk in a place with a bunch of healthy people there wearing these stinking face diapers. When will you realize you need to go to your doctor and ask him point blank, does that work? And he tells you no, that you'll quit wearing him stupid things. I realize you go in certain hospitals, they'll throw you out if you don't have them. They're usually run by the Gestapo up there. That's some short, fat woman that never had any authority in her life trying to boss people around with CDC rules. Can I remind you them ain't laws? There was a guy who showed up at a city council meeting in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. They said, you got to put on a mask. He said, I ain't putting on a mask, and you ain't making me. He said, we'll throw you out of here. He said, under what law? He said, what they don't want me to do is come here and tell you how critical race theory is a lie in the middle of this council meeting. And boy, they all started scattering then. Even the cops went away. He called them Hitler's brown shirts. I thought, man, somebody's seeing through this crowd for what they're doing. Ain't that something? Brother Ben Atkins retired a piece of equipment a while back, and I've been telling you for a while, I'm going to get that thing out and preach with it, brother. I ain't got the go-ahead from the Lord yet, but I'm sure I've got your permission, right? It is a mask that will put away anything COVID and probably poison and everything else that'd be in there. But there's a catch. It don't look like this with a little piece of paper. You got to seal that thing. I'd have to cut my beard to make that thing look right, but I don't have to cut it two places like that. Seal that thing around my face, tie that can on there, and then I can go anywhere in the world. I don't have to worry about anything other than probably radiation, I think it is. Ain't that funny? But they won't give you a face diaper. I've raised three children. Let me tell you something. Them things, diapers don't even hold that stuff very long. Now, you listen, I would give you a vulgar illustration, but I'm not. But I'm telling you, the mayor of this town says it don't work. Lisa's doctor says it don't work, and every other doctor I've asked says it don't work, but they have to do it because they've been bullied by somebody to do it.
Right, yeah.
I got the law called on me in Bilo before it closed. The city council voted to have a mask mandate. I don't care what they voted on. I could care less. Walked in Bilo, here's this woman with a cell phone following me around. He's on aisle two now. It's a 911. That cop got there, and she looked at me, and I looked at her. She rolled her eyes, and I rolled mine. She said, I thought I was dealing with a criminal here. I said, you are. A maskless criminal, amen and amen. Sick of that bunch. Fear who? So 2 Timothy says in chapter 1, verse 7, something about not fearing what? Let's look over. Let me show you this. I want you to see this. I read this verse the day they started talking about this in 2020, and I believe it then, I believe it now. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know what people are afraid of? They're not afraid of God. Faithful believer, one of his ingredients is, you got six words that's going to make up his pattern. Second one is fear the Lord, right? So what do? They fear diseases. They fear death. They fear everything but the one who controls every bit of that. Isn't that something? Why is it that we would sit around and fear all that, not fear the creator of this world who's got the power both to put your body and your soul in hell? I wouldn't worry about dying. I'd worry about what happens right after you die if I was you. And I wouldn't worry about dying. I'd worry about living. Because, see, there's going to be a lot of people. Heaven's just going to be a place of regret for them. They're going to get up there and say, they're going to say this over and over. I wished I'd have lived for the Lord. I wished I'd have done this. I wished I'd. This ain't Disney World. You don't wish here. You pray and get it done. And you obey the Lord, which if you look back in Deuteronomy 13, you fear him and keep his commandments. Keep, there's your word. You got walk, you got fear, you got keep. And what are we going to do, keep his commandments? Sure we are. Why are we going to do that? Because he just proved us back in that previous verse, both heart and soul. Now he gives us the pattern here of what to do. And see, we got proof. Now we got a pattern we go by. We keep his commandments. Then it says obey his voice. So what voice is that? That's the one that says, don't do that, you idiot. Yeah. I don't know if God speaks to you like that, but sometimes I get that kind of stuff. Yeah. Why are you being so stupid? Don't do that again. I feel like a 3-year-old again. Come on. You know what my first introduction to butter that I remember was? Grabbing something that's hot and having to get something put on my hand with butter. I grew up thinking that was a medicinal thing we kept in the refrigerator because I had to have it so much. Then I got to be 6 years old and I kept thinking, you know, if I keep doing that, I'm going to keep getting hurt. And then I found out butter had a better usage than medicinal purposes. Amen. You know, it was a red letter day in my life and I found out about them other kinds of butter they have. Boy, that's good stuff. Anyway, he says, keep his commandments, obey his voice. Ye shall, here's the other word, serve him. You know, I found out about serving. It's easy if you'll do what he says. He's giving you the pattern here. And he's not talking to preachers. He's talking to the whole body there. Serve him. I know it's hard. Last word down there. And cleave unto him. Yep. You know, you have a thing at your house probably that's called a cleaver. Chop that thing in half with it, right? You know that word cleave and that thing kind of go together? People try to say it means stick to somebody. No, it means you cut somebody else off for this one. There's some people, listen, I'll prove it to you what that word means that. All you men, don't you be honest, the ones of you that are married, how many girlfriends do you have? I'm waiting, raise your hands. One's guy showing zero and the rest of them scared to death. Zero over here, zero. He was the first one. Fame's not saying. Okay, listen. Do this, brother, right quick. There you go. All right, check this out. Do you know what the difference is why you done that? Because that cleaver sitting beside you, if you didn't cleave them out of the relationship, they'd cleave the gods.
That's right.
And just stick with him. Cleave unto him. You go to him because you cut off everybody else. Yep. Are you still saying zero? Quit that. We got you. I said girlfriends. That's right. Amen. So what we got is we got this pattern built up based on these six words. And I promise you, he might have been talking to Israel, but he's knocking on our door with them tonight. Yeah, well, by way of application, that's what we do as a Christian right there.
Right.
We simply walk, fear, keep, obey, serve, cleave. There we are. It's right there in verse 4. Walk, fear, keep, obey, serve, and cleave. There's your six words to follow the Lord with. All of them right there. The last ingredient we find in our banana pudding tonight is this. Or I'm sorry, we're talking about faithful believers. I get sidetracked sometimes. We see the path of a faithful believer. He shows us where we come from and where we're headed. We're converted out of the world because in verse 5 he says, and that prophet or dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. And since God told us to follow the laws of the land and let the magistrate take care of them, they got a way of taking care of them dudes, don't they? And if they don't, guess who will show up and take care of them? And do it with humor.
Yeah.
You say, how so? Do y'all know where Oral Roberts died at? In the Baptist Hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma, with him on Psalm 2, he looks back from the heavens and laughs at them with turned derision. All that fake, I saw a 50-foot Jesus garbage. He knows better now. The law didn't take care of him, but boy, God sure took care of him. Look at this. Because he hath spoken you to turn you away from the Lord your God. That's what that false prophet did. But here's what God does. It says, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Egypt being a type of the world and everything. The path of a faithful believer starts right there. God converted you out of the world.
Yeah.
It took a miracle to get you from where you is at to where you are now as far as saved.
Yeah.
There's a guy here at this church told me, he said, looking back on my life, it's as if God done the whole thing just for me. And every one of you know that says the same thing about you. It's like God stopped heaven and earth to come get you, and he did that. You know what the difference is between you and everybody else? You said yes. The call went out to everybody. But the ones that accepted that call, I don't care if you was where you was at when it happened, God did that. And it says, to bring you out of the land of Egypt. He showed him he did that to him. Watch this one. And redeemed you out of the house of bondage. Not only has he converted you out of the world, he's carried you away from that. You can't make a deal with God. God don't want your deal. He wants you to accept his deal.
That's right.
And when you accept his deal, he brings you away from where he is at.
Right.
I promise you this. I'd have never quit what I was doing if God didn't get me by the hand and take me out of there. By the way, can I relate to you the story of Lot and his two daughters when they left out of that city? One of them got left behind and became a pillar of salt. Why? They kept looking back.
Yeah.
Wow. Get this. Now watch. He said, redeemed you out of the house of bondage. And it says, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. There's that walk word again. So we see that we're converted, we're carried away. And then he commanded you on the way to walk. How do you do that? By words. You and I, when we got saved, you know what all of us did? We did the exact same thing. We turned from everything that we knew was sin and turned to Jesus Christ. We turned from everything we thought was getting us to heaven. We turned from everything we trusted, and we repented of everything we knew of because God granted us repentance according to the knowledge of the truth. We turned to him. We got taken by him. He got us out of the snare of the devil that we'd been taken captive by his will by and all that. And here's the crazy thing. We all got saved. We was all converted. He carried us away from that thing. But then we got in the Bible and found out we still had sin in us. You know what we did then? We stopped it. Because you'd only go as far as that. Saved, going to heaven. But when we found out we had something else, guess what happened? We said, okay, Lord, I can do that. I'll stop that. I've had people say, I can't quit smoking. Well, eat one of them patches or whatever you do them things and stick bubble gum on you, whatever it is you do. I may have them backwards. But get away from it, man. Do what it takes. God can. If he can drop the walls of Jericho, he can take that stuff away.
Right.
He can do it. If God Almighty can part a sea, he can take care of a little 3.5-inch God, I'm sure. Yeah. So how you know that's a God? Because you send up burnt offerings to him all the time, just like it says here not to do in the Bible. How about I put it that way? Put the evil away from the midst of thee. What are we trying to do? We're trying to be faithful brethren. We're trying to be faithful believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that walk with him. He's exposing our own hearts to us. Now we want to walk with him. We want to do right. Our goal every day is not to get up and say, well, now everybody sins. God looks at the heart, not like his man looks. That's the biggest excuse for a bunch of dope-smoking, wine-drinking Southern Baptists I've ever seen in my life. Quit doing all that. Well, you know, you can lose your salvation. That's just an excuse. So you run out here and get into sin all you want to, and then come back and say, well, I got saved. It don't count, as if you weren't responsible the whole time. Get this thing right. Follow Him. Accept Him. Believe on Him. Let Him do the carrying. Let Him do the converting. Let Him carry you away from that thing. Let Him show you what it's really like to walk in the Christian life and be one thing that you can't be without Him. Faithful. Faithful. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.